It is time for our shapeshifter this evening. His name is Eben Ace. He's the co-founder and chief executive at Mad Giant. Mad Giant? You've never heard of Mad Giant? Have you never driven down the M1 South? And look, it's down in Newtown, right?
Yes.
You've got a big billboard. It says Mad Giant.
On the roof, yeah.
And you've created this brew pub. Yeah. With a restaurant, but you've also created a range of craft beers. Craft beers not particularly new and unique in South Africa. There must be 100 producers of craft beers.
Yeah, probably about 150 to 160
already.
Producers, yeah.
Amazing. I mean, and some guys are huge, and some guys are really small. You produce about 20,000 litres a month, which is a fair volume. Do you sell most of that through the pub?
We do sell a decent amount through the pub. But we do the distribution model. So our core focus is Gauteng. We don't really do national distribution on a large scale, mostly Gauteng.
The name Mad Giant, where does it come from?
So Mad Giant's about the little guy that's just crazy enough to pursue this big giant dream. So a little bit of inspiration. My dream was to start a brewery and brew beer.
Why? I mean, in a market, I mean, and 149 other people have got to answer that question too. But I mean, this market's been dominated by SAB at first and now Anheuser-Busch InBev. They control 90% of the beer market, despite the fact that Heineken have got a big brewery at Cederberg. And then there's a growing but small volume, really, in terms of the craft beer trade.
I think there's two things. The one, as a scientist, it's very appealing. There's massive scope for different styles of beer. In South Africa, we're very used to lagers. Almost everything you get commercially is lagers. And when you travel to Europe, whether it's Belgium, Germany, or America, you're exposed to some amazing beers and you realize that the scope is so massive.
Mm. I was talking to a craft brewer who brews out of his garage in Parkview, and it's for, I think, sort of family and friends distribution. And he was just saying, you know, half the people who make beer are trying so desperately to make Castle Lager. that's sort of the ultimate goal. And you know what? You know, Anheuser-Busch InBev, they know how to make Castle Lager, so let them make it.
Exactly.
You do other things.
Exactly that.
Now, you brought some samples in, which is important, and we're not allowed to drink in the studio, so we're not doing this.
Okay.
But it's for the job. You brought us a Pilsner, you brought a pale ale, we're familiar with those, and then a beer that we'll talk about later, which is incredibly unique, which I haven't dared even smell yet. But this Pilsner is full of lemon, it's full of punch and flavor. It's light, like a Pilsner should be.
Yeah.
So nice for lunchtime. You're not going to fall on your face too hard.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's a really flavorsome Pilsner very often can be like a less flavorsome lager, and it can just be a bit meh.
Yeah, that's if you want to conform to lager category and volume category. But if you go into the history of Pilsners, then they should be flavorsome.
And they're German. That's the origins of these things.
Actually, it's Czech.
Was it Czech?
Yeah.
Oh, I suppose so. Pilsner Urquell.
Yeah,
from
a little town called Pilsen.
Yeah. I mean, Pilsner Urquell is a deliciously bitter beer.
Yeah.
If you go for the original Budvar, that's more of a lager-style beer, I suppose. You go for one called Staropramen. I don't know if you've ever had Staropramen.
Well, you're going to put me to shame here.
I can show the front beer. It hits you like there's a beer in the Western Cape called the Blockhouse.
Oh, yeah.
Which is as bitter as gall. It really is. And if you're in the mood, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
But those are grown-up beers. This is a really nice, easily accessible, delicious
100%.
Pilsner.
Just add some notes of flavor.
And then you get into the more adventurous side, and this is where real beer flavors do come out of. And you've got a very competitive pale ale. It's called Killer Hop. And this won a Best Beer in Africa award.
Yeah, that's correct. We entered the African Beer Awards, where quite a lot of breweries all over Africa entered. And it's the first time where we actually compete against the big boys. And we were, we're happy to win it. We took the trophy.
This is as flavorsome and as complex and as detailed as any beer that you'll find. I mean, one of my favorite beers in the world is London Pride. It's produced
Fuller's.
By Fuller's in the United Kingdom. And it's very similar in its characteristics. It's quite floral. It's very flavorsome.
Yeah, fruity.
You get a really lots of sort of levels of flavor in it as well. How difficult is it to produce the complex sorts of beers like the pale ales?
So this beer specifically took us 4 years to get to where we are today, where you just go through so many iterations. And it's all about the balance. So you want to create intrigue with just blow your mind with flavor, but you also want something that you can session on.
Can I squeeze some orange rind in there and start chucking in all kinds of extra flavors? Because some people do that. And sometimes it can
Point you to the gin aisle.
Yeah, but it ends up tasting like Christmas pudding, which is not the idea.
So what pudding? No. So pudding. What you ultimately the aim as a brewer is to brew a beer that's complex to an extent, enjoyable but balanced.
And you get these flavors. I mean, so you get these sort of very fruity flavors out of selecting the barley that you use, selecting the hops that you use, because the hop characteristics, as I've learned over many years, 100%. Are absolutely pivotal in defining 100%. The flavor.
In this beer, it's about the hop, killer hop. And we use four different varietals at different stages in the process and in different conditions to extract exactly what we need, because these hops are...
So when you're making beer, you don't hoi all the mush together, the mash, and then just wait for it to ferment and then chuck it into a glass.
No, it's surprising. That's,
forgive me. It's not my ignorance.
You can quite easily brew a beer at home, and then when you start wanting to go into really in detail levels, there's every little step. There's so many steps. And it's so easy to screw it up.
As Bill Clinton said to me the other day, well, he was all changed to Cyril Ramaphosa, don't screw it up.
Yeah.
And I think he was talking about the beer, not the country. As a scientist, I mean, you are a chemical engineer.
That's correct.
You could have gone and saved the world, but instead you just choosing to drive the world into oblivion. What's the motivation behind the beer?
I think you can save the world by having more happy people. Sure. And so our aim is to have people get together, be social, and be happy.
You know what's so nice about the craft beer industry is that it's just got the quality of the product has improved so dramatically over the years.
Absolutely.
Which makes it much more competitive.
Yeah.
But it also is very good for the market because it brings craft more mainstream.
100%. I think the next year is going to be insanely good for the consumer.
How?
There's just, as you just rightly said, is craft brewers are just learning and developing and progressing at such a good rate. The technology that's installed in breweries, the quality that's coming out is phenomenal. And we were quite a young industry. So
who's the biggest producer in South Africa? You can mention your competitors.
Yeah, I've no, I'll have to guess, but it depends. I think Poison City is knocking everybody's socks off with the cannabis lager at the moment.
Oh, God, isn't that just a bit of hype and a bit of nonsense being chucked out into the spa stores and cause some hype at the moment? It's legalized and it's really not
It's obviously there's inflated excitement about it, but it's definitely the future. And cannabis is going to rock the world of alcohol.
And you haven't got a line yet? Have you guys been asleep?
We are working on something that's releasing next 2 weeks.
But it's quite interesting. I mean, are you legally allowed to produce a beer like that? Because what we've got is Dacha legalized for home use in South Africa. Yeah. So in the privacy of your own home, if you're producing a commercial product with cannabis in it, are you not stepping on toes and breaking laws? Or is that part of the game of testing the limits?
No, it's not. It's to understand that cannabis, you get marijuana.
Yep.
It's got THC, and under cannabis, you get hemp.
Okay.
It knows THC.
So this is the THC-free stuff.
The THC-free stuff. And there's still a lot of work to be done in South Africa to get the THC stuff out, but it's definitely going to happen.
Are you guys profitable?
Not really. It depends what month of the year it is.
Sure. I mean, but this is, there's big capital expenditure.
Massive.
Where did you get the capex from? Because you're a young guy.
Yeah.
To set up a brewery must cost a couple of million.
Yeah, I know, many millions. And I was fortunate to get an investor, one investor, that decided to back us.
How do you convince somebody to back a brewery? I'm sorry, that's a really, you're very good at sales if you did that.
I was very, very fortunate that I received a phone call and somebody told my investor about me and what we're doing. And at that time, Craft was quite a lot smaller than it is today. And he was keen to get in. So, yeah.
Maybe that's the Mad Giant. Eben Ace is the co-founder and chief executive at Mad Giant. It's a microbrewery downtown Johannesburg in the Newtown Precinct area. That's where you will find them. Producing beers, their killer hop beer, the Pale Ale, best beer in Africa. In a moment, we're going to try one, a quite contentious title, and possibly a quite contentious process behind it too. I'm not sure if I'm going to taste it until I know how it's made. In a moment. So from a Pilsner to a Pale Ale to something called Josie Carjacker, which is a horrible name for a beer.
Yeah, 100%.
So what's the idea?
We went absolutely crazy with the process. and it's enormous. It's called a New England IPA. That's a style that we set out to brew.
IPA, India Pale Ale, because 300 years ago, the Brits wanted to get beer to the colonies, and you had to preserve the beer, so you had to add what to it to sort of
preserve. So they added a hell of a lot of hops. They brewed higher alcohol. Alcohol is a natural preservative. And then added like a lot of hops, even in bags inside the barrels. So hops is a natural antimicrobial ingredient. So as it traveled to the India, it just got bitter and massively hoppy. And that style obviously fell out of favor because of lagers that came from Germany. It's light and sessionable, and it's when warm, sunny days. But the Americans took it to a next level when they started.
American craft beer is extraordinary in terms of the volume that they produce and the scale that they produce. And when you think that this is the home of Budweiser and Miller Lite and a whole range of grotesque beers that are, I mean, no, they really are an embarrassment to brewing.
Absolutely.
And I can't remember what the beer was when I had it in Omaha when I went to go and see, the Sage of Omaha, Warren Buffett, and popped into a pub in one evening and thought, oh, I know that brand. I should try it. I can't even, the brand escapes me now. But it was, if I hadn't had to pay $5 for the beer, I wouldn't have drunk it.
Yeah.
And I punished myself and made myself. It was
horrible.
I would rather have had a glass of sparkling water because it just tasted like bad sparkling water. Yeah. It was just awful. So they should be ashamed of themselves. But the country that gives you that rubbish also produces some of the most extraordinary craft beer in the world.
Yeah, it's massive. And you know, it's
high
community
alcohol content, 12-13% beers, which is too much.
I think if you watch documentaries on pre-prohibition, you understand why Americans can devour high alcohol content products.
Sure.
So we're slightly different to that, but it's inspired by them because they've gone on this journey with exploring hops and hops that's grown in America that showcase an enormous amount of different flavor compounds related to fruits. You know, anything mm-hmm. from piney resiny to stone fruit and grapefruit and mango and guava.
Are these hybrid hops? So are people breeding hops?
Absolutely,
to then
yeah.
get the flavor profiles?
Yeah, 100%. So it's massive breeding programs where they take, just as today I read about a wild hop that they found in, I don't even know where, and then I patented it, and they're going to start developing, and it's constantly developing. Craft brewers are constantly searching for these massive explosive flavors.
And you've got what you've got in your carjacker is a very bitter beer. I mean, not very bitter.
It's not really bitter.
But it's more bitter than the others we've had. It's in the profile of the IPA market, so it's nice that it sort of gets you in sort of the side of your tongue.
So
the flavor
is insane.
Is incredible.
So New England IPAs are slightly different to IPAs where we don't aim for bitterness. We actually don't add 1 gram of hops in the kettle where typically you get your bitterness from. So what we do is we add all the hopping when it's typically the beer is in colder conditions so we can extract the volatile essential oils. And that just gives you this fruit. And then to balance that, we add high protein malts, anything from oats, wheat, very special malts to give you mouthfeel that's softer. So all of a sudden you're just moving out of the typical beer regime and you go to something that's soft, massive flavors, not that bitter, higher alcohol.
Is our beer market wealthy enough, big enough to absorb 150 craft brewers who are each getting better and better at doing it? Because you can't all survive.
I think yes and no. So I don't know, not all 150 brewers are set out to be distribution brewers. So a lot of the breweries, majority are set out to be brew pubs, where you can come and visit them, hear the story, speak to the brewer, experience the beer, and that's where you typically make slightly bigger quite significantly bigger margins. Mm. When you go into distribution, you on the margin war, basically.
I mean, SAB perfected it. I mean, they were the masters of distribution. They understood you've got to make it cheaply and cost effectively. You've got to have your branding absolutely right. You've got to create the stories and the legends. Yeah. And then you've got to get your beer to market.
Yeah, and buy out your competition.
And absolutely, and get rid of your competition. And then went up through Africa after the 94 elections and just before that. And then as the Berlin Wall fell, into Eastern Europe and revamped some fantastic old school brands that people loved. But they were tired and exhausted and the distribution was rubbish and the presentation was rubbish. And they simply put the zing back into the beer market and got the volumes went mad. You've got to get your distribution right. And if you get that right, people get onto the shelves and then you may sell some.
Yeah, I think it's it's a lot of things. You have to get distribution right. Currently, I think craft beer is about 1% of the beer volumes in South Africa. It's tiny. And a lot of the breweries can survive on having a small, relatively small market share. We don't have to have each 5% of the market. That's the one thing. It's not just about distribution, because you can get on shelf, but what's challenging for small breweries is the marketing budget that we don't have. And where you look at big brands of
beer. And how do you stand out in a congested market? I mean, you're not going to get all the Cape Town beers or the KZN beers or the Free State beers. There's some fantastic beers from Clarence, for example. You're not going to get them all competing with you on the shelf, but they're international beers. They're the local commercial beers. Yeah. And then there's you.
Yeah.
And then there's 100 gins. And and consumers are spoilt for choice.
Absolutely.
So you've got to earn their rand. How do you do that?
You brew Josie Carjacker.
But you don't know that it's brilliant until you try it. And that's the trouble with it. So you've then got to do sampling, and you've then got to really sacrifice a lot of margin in order to put it to get it put in customers' hands.
Yeah, so we're fortunate that we have what we call early adopters, or people are really beer fanatics. And they follow what's happening in America. They follow what's happening in Europe. And as soon as local brewers start to take on those styles and brew them, then they'll be the first to try them, and they'll give you honest feedback.
And is the feedback good?
Yeah, we're fortunate that we get good feedback. I'm not saying we can't make mistakes, but we've been very fortunate. Yeah.
Have you ever blown a batch?
Ooh, have we blown a batch? No, we haven't blown a batch, touch wood. We've done experiments, a lot of experiments, but we haven't blown a batch.
Mm. What do you see as your trajectory now?
Big thing for us is, like you said, get distribution model right. And the second thing is get our story out. It's like, you know, who is Mad John and why do we brew beer? And we need to connect with the consumer so that when they get into the store and they see it, that they try it and buy it.
Yeah. Mm. And I mean, roughly retail prices on these?
It varies. So the
Pilsner is about 30 to 40 rand?
No, way cheaper. So
aren't you guys nice?
In bottle stores, you're looking at most of our beers about 23 rand a bottle if you buy singles. And if you buy four packs, you're looking at about 79, 83 rand a four pack.
Mm.
And yeah, we just moved on to away from plastic. So all our labels and packs are made of paper based.
Mm. And that's, that again gives you a little bit of credit in that market. And the beer and restaurant business, I mean, Newtown's buzzing and thriving and vibey. Have you got full tables?
We do at the restaurant. Mm. So we are destination space. So we trickle through the week. We get decent visitation, and then weekends, Friday, Saturday, Sundays is when we get most of our customers come through.
Well, it's a fabulous story, and I wish you luck with it. I really do. Mad Giant is the name of the brewery. The co-founder, the chief executive, the maddest of the mad at Mad Giant is Urban Ace, chemical engineer turned brewer. I always wondered what chemical engineers would be useful for, and now I've finally learned. Urban Ace, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.